Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan, unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Amen. And we know God will bless the reading of his precious word. Shall we pray together? Father, we give thee thanks for the opportunity to open the sacred scriptures, the holy scriptures. And we pray now as we ponder and as we meditate that thy gracious Spirit, the author and the inspirer of this word, that he will be our teacher. Illuminate the words of Scripture, open up our minds and our understanding, and grant today that we shall be taught of God. Minister to every heart, Lord, and grant that by the hearing of thy word, that faith will be wrought within our hearts, and faith will be built up and strengthened. And we pray that thy word will guide us. The entrance of thy word giveth light. And we ask, Lord, that we shall have that light of God, that in thy light we shall see light. Guide us, we pray. We ask in the Saviour's precious name and for his sake. Amen. The verse or the little phrase that I want to take today as the basis of our study is found in verse number 16. And it reads like this, like a dove. Like a dove. Lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him. Nature is God's unique gallery of object lessons. It's the canvas upon which the Lord has sketched illustrations of spiritual truth. The world around us was intended, if only we had eyes to see it, it was intended to help us understand things that are not seen. In fact, that's what Paul said in his first letter to the Romans. The things that are not seen, he declares, are revealed to us and made known to us by the things that are seen. The natural creation was intended by God to teach us, to illustrate to us spiritual truth. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 14, doth not nature itself teach you? Nature is God's means of revelation. It is the natural revelation by which God has illustrated those things that are spiritual and eternal. If you take the grass, or the plants, or the flowers, or the sun, the moon, the stars, the animals, or the birds, they all abound with spiritual, rich spiritual insights. They are illustrations of spiritual truth. And the Bible, because we do not have eyes any longer to see that, God has given us the Bible. And the Bible interprets those object lessons. The Bible tells us why God made the grass and what its spiritual illustration is, why God made the sun, the moon, the stars, and what their spiritual lesson is for us. The Bible expounds those object lessons. This passage that we have read today describes the Spirit of God descending upon the Lord Jesus after his baptism like a dove. Like a dove. In other words, the Lord created the dove with all of its individual characteristics in order to visually illustrate to us something about the unseen and invisible Spirit of the living God. Three times this little phrase is recorded by Matthew, Mark, and by Luke when they write of this event. Three times it says, like a dove, like a dove. The qualities of the dove are referenced here in order to illustrate to us characteristics that belong to the Spirit of God. Do you remember the Lord said on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, behold the fowls of the air. In other words, stop and consider the birds. Stop and consider the birds. And if we take just the birds as an example, all the way through the scripture, the Lord makes reference to the different kinds of birds, the different variations within the birds that depict spiritual truth. Think of the eagle. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 4, when the Lord brought the Israelites out of Egypt to Mount Sinai, he said to them, I bear you on eagle's wings, and I brought you to myself. He uses the eagle's wings in reference to himself. And the eagle, of course, has one of the largest wingspans. It's one of the swiftest birds of the air. And its wingspan is so strong that it can fly at such great speed and at such great height. They say that the eagle escapes all of its so-called predators by soaring up to the sun, and it can outfly those that chase it. And the Lord takes the eagle and he says, that's just like what I have done with you. I bear you on eagle's wings. I bear you on eagle's wings and I brought you to myself. When the Lord wanted to impress upon us our value to him, he made reference to the sparrow. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12 and verse 6, he said, not one sparrow is forgotten by God. And the sparrow, in contrast to the eagle, is very small. And in the eyes of man, it's insignificant. But the Lord said, not one sparrow falls to the ground without your Father knowing. He takes note when the little sparrow falls to the ground, and not one is forgotten by God. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. The Lord created the fowl of the air, the birds of the sky, in order to illustrate spiritual truth to us. It's a wonderful study. And here in this passage, the Holy Spirit is likened to the dove. The dove is used in reference to the Spirit of the living God. And that's very interesting. That's very interesting. Do you know that the first mention of the Spirit of God in the Bible connects him with the flight movement of birds? Turn to Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 2 at the beginning of creation. God created the heaven and the earth. And in verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, this is the first mention of the Spirit of God in the Bible. And we're told the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Do you see that word moved? It's very interesting. It occurs only three times in the Bible. Only three times. There are a number of words in the Bible that only occur three times. And this is one of them. And each of the three times that it occurs, it is translated with a different English word. It's translated in Jeremiah 23 verse 9, to shake, to shake. But look at Deuteronomy 32. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 11. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and the verse number 11. Again, the Lord is speaking about Israel and when he found Israel in the desert land. In verse 11 of Deuteronomy 32, he says, "As the eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him. There was no strange God with him." Do you see the word to flutter? That's the same, it's the translation of the same Hebrew word that is used in Genesis 1 verse 2, when the Spirit of God moved. And you could translate it like this: the Spirit of God fluttered, hovered over the face of the waters. And it's the idea of movement back and forward in rapid succession. And there are some scientists who believe that this action of the Spirit on this occasion formed or brought about the creation of energy. How is energy transmitted? What is the transmission of energy? Or how does the transmission of energy take place? It takes place in the form of waves. We talk about light waves, heat waves, sound waves. Energy is that movement back and forward. And this is the Spirit of God creating energy within the universe. And it is like a bird-like motion, a bird-like action, fluttering, hovering, or to give it a modern term, the vibrating, the hovering of the Spirit. Isn't that interesting? That the first mention of the Spirit of God in the Bible connects him with what the Lord would later create in the fowl of the air. It's not so much that the Spirit is like the dove, but rather the dove is like the Spirit. Created by God to be this object lesson, this spiritual lesson, this illustration of the Spirit of God. And it's in that light that I want us to consider this little phrase, the Spirit of God descending like a dove, like a dove. Have you ever stopped to consider the dove? Have you ever stopped to consider what the dove teaches us about the Holy Spirit? Well, the Bible has some very interesting things to say about the dove. And I don't want to take all the references, but I'm going to take some of them, just a few of them. And the references that outline the characteristic of the dove and how it illustrates the Spirit of God. Turn to Leviticus chapter 11. You're going to have to go through the Bible today and follow these references. And I want you to look up the references. It won't be too tedious, I can assure you. But I do want you to look up the references and underline them. The first reference to the dove is in Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 13. And it's not so much by direct reference, but by indirect reference. Look what it says in verse 13, Leviticus 11, "And these are they which ye shall have in abomination among the fowls. They shall not be eaten, they are an abomination. The eagle, the ostrich, the osprey, the vulture, the kite after his kind, every raven after his kind, and the owl, and the night hawk, and the cow and the hawk after his kind, and the little owl and the cormorant and the great owl, and the swan and the pelican and the gear eagle, and the stork, the heron after her kind, and the lapwing and the bat, all fowls that creep going upon all four shall be an abomination unto you. These are the unclean birds. They are designated as unclean. And they're set in contrast from those birds that are designated as the clean fowl. And what made the difference between the unclean and the clean was this. The unclean birds fed upon flesh, whereas the clean birds were those that ate only grain, that did not feed upon the flesh. And so you have this distinction in the bird family of those birds that were clean and those birds that are unclean. I want you to look at Psalm 68. Psalm 68. And there's something here that is brought to our attention concerning the dove. Psalm 68 and verse 13. Though ye have lain among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove, covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. Now, sometimes the doves like to dwell and settle among pots in inhabited places. But as soon as you disturb them, they will immediately rise up from those nesting places and they will begin to fly into the sky. And though they have lain among the pots, the old earthen pots, as soon as they begin to mount up and fly into the sky, the sun casts its light upon the dove and their wings stand out. Have you ever noticed how beautiful the wings of a dove are? The Bible says that the wings of a dove are covered with silver and her feathers with yellow gold. This is a bird that is beautiful. That's what the Bible is saying. The dove is a beautiful bird. It's classed among the clean birds. And if you turn to Song of Solomon, chapter 6 and verse 9, you'll discover that the dove is also associated with that which is undefiled. Song of Solomon chapter 6 and verse 9. The beloved says to his spouse, my dove, my undefiled. My undefiled. So I'm linking these verses together to show you, when the Bible turns its spotlight upon the dove is set forth as a beautiful creature, one who is clean and undefiled. Does it not highlight the holiness of the Spirit of God? How is the Spirit of God most described in the Bible? He is most described as the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Have you ever thought about that? God the Father is holy, and God the Son is holy. But the term holy is used more often in reference to the Holy Spirit than to the other two persons of the Godhead. Why is that? Does that indicate that in some sense the Holy Spirit is more holy than the Father and the Son? Not at all. They are equal. They are the same in holiness. They are one God existing in three persons. But the reason why the Spirit of God is set apart and described as the Holy Spirit is because He is the author of holiness in the hearts and lives of His people. Wherever you find holiness in an individual's life, that conformity to God's likeness and God's nature, it has been produced by the Spirit of God. He is the author of all holiness. That's why He is designated as the Holy Spirit. It is His work, His operation in the heart and in the life to change and conform. He is the sanctifier. He is the agent by which that sanctifying work is produced in our hearts and in our lives. The Spirit of God is like the dove, and the dove is set apart because of her undefiled nature. She is clean and pure, typifying the holiness of the Spirit of God. So the first characteristic that we must notice is the holiness of the Spirit. He is holy, and He is the author of all holiness in the hearts and lives of His people. You cannot overcome sin. You cannot overcome the temptations of the world and the temptations of the flesh. You cannot live a holy life by yourself, by your own efforts, by your own endeavors. That's where so many believers get entangled. They look upon sanctification as their work, but it's not. It's the work of the Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit, because He is the author of holiness in the heart and the life. He is the source of holiness. And the only way that you and I can overcome sin and triumph over sin is by letting the Spirit of God have His way within our hearts. He's like the dove. The purity of the dove stands forth. But I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And in this passage, the Lord Jesus directs us to the dove. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 16. He says to His disciples, He's sending them out on their missionary journey. They're going forth to preach the gospel. And He says to them in verse 16, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." And now the focus this time is on the gentleness of the dove. "Be ye harmless as doves." What is harmlessness? Harmlessness is that quality of character that does not desire to hurt or injure someone else. Those who study birds and who have made it their life's work to study the fowl of the air, they tell us that one of the outstanding characteristics and features of the dove that makes the dove stand out, that characterizes the dove in her gentleness and her harmlessness, is the fact that she has no gall. No gall. Now, the word gall only appears two times in the Bible. It appears at the cross when they gave the Lord vinegar mingled with gall. And the second time that it appears is in Acts chapter 8, when Peter went to Samaria and he said to Simon, he said to Simon in that passage, verse 23, he says, "I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness." In the gall of bitterness. Gall is the source of contention the source of bitterness that seeks to injure, that seeks to hurt someone else. But you'll notice that the dove is described as being harmless, without gall, not having that desire to injure, not having that bitterness within its character. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul sets out the fruit of the Spirit. And he says in verse number 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The Spirit of God produces what He is Himself. And you'll notice that gentleness is placed in there. Gentleness. The dove is harmless. The dove is without bitterness, with no gall. Bitterness is the mark of the world. It's the mark of the flesh. It's the mark of the carnal nature. You look out over this world, and what's it characterized? It's characterized by bitterness. Bitter people. And because of that, there's a desire in their heart to wrong someone else, to injure somebody else, to get back at somebody else. That's the characteristic of the world. But the Lord said, look at the dove. The dove is harmless. It doesn't have that gall. Doesn't have that desire to harm. Some birds do. You go out and you try and grab back a piece of meat that a bird has in its beak and it'll peck you. I've seen birds, I remember my little niece coming home from holidays and saying that she'd got, I can't remember, was it an ice cream or something, and the bird came down and just snatched it out of her hand. There's no harmlessness there. And there's some birds that would peck at you and peck at others. But the dove isn't like that. You go near the dove and it'll fly away. It'll fly away. Because it's gentle. It's harmless. It has no gall. And that's the characteristic of the Spirit. Always remember that the Spirit of God has no desire to injure us, to harm us, but rather to do us good. And whenever He has His way within the heart and within the life, He will produce what is the reflection of His own nature. Be ye harmless as doves. But turn to Psalm 55. Psalm 55. And I want you to see another characteristic here of the dove. Psalm 55 and verse 6. And how many times have we felt like this? How many times have we felt like David? As he felt on this occasion, we're studying the life of David on Monday night. And the times when he was surrounded by enemies, cruel hatred, the bitterness that was in the heart of Saul toward him. Saul pursuing after him. And there were times when David wanted to fly away. Oh, this is what he says in verse 6. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. And if the dove is characterized by its beautifulness, by its holiness, and by its gentleness, it's also characterized by its swiftness. It's known to have marvelous strength in her wings. The strength of the dove is in her wings, and she can fly for hours without stopping, without having to take a rest. It puts her at an advantage from those who would seek to pursue her. She can outfly many of her pursuers. Oh, what a picture of the Holy Spirit. How strong and how swift the Spirit of God is. None can overtake him. Think of the day of Pentecost when they were seeking for the Spirit and the Lord had told them to tarry, to wait for the promise of the Father, the blessed Spirit. And the Bible says, and suddenly, there was a sound like as of a rushing mighty wind, and the Spirit of God came. How swift is the Holy Spirit? How strong is his flight? None can stop him when he intends to accomplish a work. None can stop him. The blessed Spirit of God could visit this town very suddenly. And now at this present moment we look out and we see ungodliness, we see indifference, apathy, hostility. We see men and women going about their business without a care for their soul or for eternity. But oh, that this day we could grasp the wings of the dove, the swiftness of the Spirit of God. Oh, how suddenly the Spirit of God can work. A person, an individual, bound by sin, their life ruined by iniquity, on the very verge of eternal destruction, about to fall over the edge of time into the pit of hell. But how suddenly the Spirit of God can sweep into that person's life, and that person becomes a new creature, a new creation, transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, the wings of a dove emphasize to us the swiftness of the Spirit of God, the strength of his flight, the power of his saving operation. But remember what Jesus said concerning the Spirit. He is the paraclete. In our English Bible, it is the word comforter, but that word paraclete is so fascinating. It comes from two words in the Greek language that literally means called alongside to help. And if you think of that analogy and the Spirit of God coming like the dove so swiftly when we are in need of help, when we face the trials and the afflictions and the troubles of life, and we feel that we cannot endure these alone, the Spirit of God comes like the dove, like the wings of the dove, swiftly to our aid, to help us, to succor us, to strengthen us. This is the mark of the Spirit. He is like a dove. But turn to Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. And you'll find another characteristic of the dove that the prophet alludes to here. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse number 8. I'm lifting this out of the context. I'm not looking at it here in the context, but rather simply in relation to what the dove is like. And the prophet says, who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? He has noted something about the doves that fascinates him. And he uses it now in his preaching as an illustration. And what does he highlight? They fly as a cloud. And the thought here is that they fly in company. They fly in company. They fly in society. Very rarely do you see a single dove. They're always in company. They're always in society. It highlights the sociableness of the dove. And the Spirit of God loves the society of those who are redeemed, the company of the redeemed. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14. And when the Lord speaks about the paraclete, the comforter, notice how he, or the setting in which he places him. John chapter 14 and verse number 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you. Spirit of God doesn't like to dwell alone. He likes company. The company of God's people. That he may abide with you forever. Look at verse 26. But the Comforter, the Paraclete, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Look at chapter 15 and verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And then again in chapter 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And the Holy Spirit now is set here in the context of the company and the society of the Lord's redeemed people. He's the Paraclete. He's called alongside. Do you remember what's commonly referred to as the benediction? 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost. The fellowship of the Holy Ghost. Communion. The thought there is of partaking, fellowship. All of these verses highlight the fact that the Spirit of God desires the society, the company of God's people. He has been given to abide with us forever. Rarely will you see a dove on its own. The doves fly together in company. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit is like a dove. He has been given. And he desires to dwell in the company, in the society of the Lord's people. But does that not emphasize just how sensitive we should be to the Holy Spirit? Just as he desires such society and fellowship, like the dove, he can also quickly withdraw. And because of the purity of the dove and because of its gentleness, the dove can very quickly and easily be caused to withdraw. And as believers individually and as a church, we must be very, very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And here Paul says these words. He says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit may withdraw his work, his power, his blessing. He may withdraw it in a measure if he is grieved, just like the dove. And isn't it interesting here the context in which Paul says this, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And right in the middle, he sets this injunction, grieve not the Holy Spirit. These are things that grieve the Spirit, that cause the Spirit to withdraw. There is no advancement without the Spirit. There's no conversion without the Spirit. There is no holiness without the Spirit. There is no blessing without the Spirit of God. He is essential in the church. But remember this, he's like the dove. He's like the dove. And the gentleness and the harmlessness of the dove is such that the dove becomes grieved by that which is the opposite of its nature. And it takes wings and flies off. We need to be very, very sensitive to the gracious Spirit of God in our individual lives as believers, and also in relation to the church, the fellowship of the church. We need Him. We need the Holy Spirit. He's like the dove. He's the comforter. But we must be sensitive to His presence, sensitive to His will, sensitive to His leading. And we must always endeavor to ensure that the Spirit of God is among us. The Spirit of God descended like a dove. And the next time that you see the dove, just stop and watch, observe and remember, it is an illustration of the unseen, invisible Spirit of the living God. Let's turn in closing to 166 in our hymn book.